It means that given an open source model, this could help bring about the ability to independently calculate the price of Bitcoin using only your full node at any block height, and develop genuine DeFi applications without the need for or without sole reliance upon trusted third-party price oracles. The best in Bitcoin made audible. I am Guy Swan, and this is Bitcoin Audible. What is up, guys? Welcome back to Bitcoin Audible. I am Guy Swan, the guy who has read more about Bitcoin than anybody else you know. We have got a great read today, and this is actually from some friends of mine, and he sent it my way. I actually didn't get to review it before they published it on Bitcoin Magazine, but this got published in Bitcoin Magazine, and it is a fascinating idea. And Steve has been working on this project UTXO.live, I'll talk about it a little bit more in the guys take, but it's just a really, really awesome visualizer of the UTXO set. And actually a bunch of different occasions we got together and he would like talk about some of the patterns you could see, and it's just kind of cool to see all the things you can see when huge price moves happen, or like when really old UTXOs are moved. You can just kind of see it in the visual information. And I always kind of wondered, he was always fascinated about it, and Daniel would talk about it a lot. And it was always just kind of like, what can you pull out of this? Like, there is information here. What do you do with this? And what all can you see? And so I will let them kind of go into what they found out, and I think it's a really, really freaking fascinating idea. So let me know what you think after we get into it. I'm very curious what the audience can do taking this and running away with it and thinking about it and building stuff. This episode is brought to you by our amazing sponsors. We have the Cold Card hardware wallet, where you keep your keys safe. Own your Bitcoin, get a Cold Card, and get 9% off with code Bitcoin Audible. And one of those things you're going to do with that with your hardware wallet, your Cold Card, when you get it, is you're going to plug in an address into nodeless.io, and you are going to be able to accept Bitcoin without running a server, without running a Lightning node and managing channels, because Nodeless is going to do all of that for you and then just forward the payments directly to you. And I will send you 10,000 sats if you just go over there and set up a donation page and send me the link, tag me in Noster, or on Twitter. They are getting lost in my DMs though, so just tag me in the post. I'm more likely to see it. Go to bitcoinaudible.com/nodeless. And then lastly, the Fold Card. The Fold Card and the Fold app are like magic, because there is just no better way than to get sats than to just do and pay for all the things you already have to pay for and get sats for it. I used to just send money out and then it would just go to things and I would get nothing. Now I buy on Amazon, I get sats. I pay for my groceries, I get sats. I pay bills, I get sats. If you are not doing this, you are missing a huge avenue of the stacking of the sats. Go to bitcoinaudible.com/fold. All right, with that, let's get into today's article, and it's titled UTX Oracle: A Decentralized Approach to the Oracle Problem. Using the UTXO set to calculate a Bitcoin price, by Daniel Hinton and Steve Jeffress. This is an opinion editorial by Daniel Hinton, the head of finance and operations for SFOX, a Bitcoin prime broker and custodian, and Steve Jeffress, creator of Bitcoin UTXO set visualizer, UTXO.live. We now know how to infer the daily price of Bitcoin within 1% by looking only at the unspent transaction output, or UTXO set. With this, we can build decentralized applications that rely on the UTXO set rather than on trusted third-party oracles, for the U.S. dollar price used in discrete log contracts, DLCs, and smart contracts. The possibilities for decentralized applications on Bitcoin using this UTX oracle are enormous. When you want to know the price of Bitcoin, where do you look? There is no single price of Bitcoin. Every second of the day, there are thousands of exchanges, brokers, OTC desks, payment companies, and other market participants around the world quoting the price of Bitcoin, and none of them is always correct. In this article, we will explore a new way of interpreting the Bitcoin UTXO set that accurately reflects a Bitcoin price at each block height and has the potential to serve as the foundation for a new era of trust-minimized, decentralized finance on Bitcoin. What trust-minimized tools could you build if you could calculate an accurate price for Bitcoin at each block height using only your Bitcoin full node and an open-source model? DLC derivatives, options, futures, perpetual futures, on-chain lending markets, peer-to-peer marketplaces, Bitcoin-backed USD stablecoins on Lightning, stable-value US dollar accounts denominated in Bitcoin, any use case that requires a US dollar component. Any one of these concepts successfully implemented on the Bitcoin blockchain in a trust-minimized way could deliver tremendous value to both Bitcoiners utilizing Bitcoin for its superior monetary properties and participants in the Bitcoin ecosystem who need to remain partially tied to USD, but want to utilize Bitcoin as their settlement network. On-chain transactions encapsulate the global signal of economic weight. During the 2016-17 block size wars, the merits of not only running a fully validating Bitcoin node, but conducting economic activity using your node were convincingly argued in helping the network avoid a meaningful fork that could have delayed Bitcoin's success. For purposes of our current discussion, it can be said that this tumultuous time in Bitcoin's history emphasized that in the same way that someone can run 1 million, quote, full nodes on a cloud server that signal for a particular upgrade, but not influence the network of economic actors in any way if they are not actively settling transactions, centralized exchanges can produce volume and price statistics that, in reality, do not carry economic weight and which are not reflected in the UTXOs that are settled onto the Bitcoin blockchain. You can temporarily give the appearance of having more Bitcoin than you do within a closed system like an exchange, but as long as there is a credible threat of withdrawal for settlement to the Bitcoin base layer, any mispricing within the closed system will eventually resolve itself back to equilibrium with the external market. For example, when Mt. Gox was insolvent in 2013 and 2014, but before it officially collapsed, the reported price of Bitcoin on the platform was markedly different from other exchanges due to the fact that Mt. Gox did not have nearly as much Bitcoin as it claimed. As a result, it needed to entice new users to deposit to the exchange in order to fulfill withdrawals from existing customers. Within the Mt. Gox system, the price could be manipulated, but when users attempted to arbitrage the price back to the market, Mt. Gox collapsed. In contrast, the Bitcoin blockchain is the hardest ledger in the world to corrupt. It represents the entire history of economic settlement activity to have occurred and is the final arbiter of truth with regard to the status of all Bitcoin in existence. Transactions that matter are settled on the Bitcoin blockchain, not in closed systems. Final settlement is what matters. UTXOs are created and destroyed each time you move Bitcoin. People have a difficult time grasping Bitcoin, since it's impossible for them to take a physical coin out of their pocket, point to it, and say, "This is a Bitcoin." One analogy I've gravitated toward when describing a specific amount of Bitcoin in a person's possession is visualizing an individual bill in a physical wallet. These bills can represent any amount and are only good for one use. So if you need to spend $3 and only have a $100 bill, you can't rip off a corner of the bill. you would need to spend the entire $100 bill and get your change back. In Bitcoin parlance, each of these bills is a UTXO. Anytime you send Bitcoin, you are spending and destroying at least one UTXO while simultaneously creating at least one new one. If you run any version of the Bitcoin software, at any point in time, you can count up all the Bitcoin contained in existing UTXOs to determine exactly how much Bitcoin currently exists. In fact, when used together, the Bitcoin blockchain and UTXO set are perfectly accurate in determining the history and current state of the Bitcoin network. This never-before-seen capability in a decentralized system helped the 19 million Bitcoin currently in existence grow to be worth several hundred billion dollars. The Bitcoin software uses units of Bitcoin, Satoshis, for its internal accounting. While it may be obvious that one Bitcoin equals one Bitcoin, this also means that when someone wants to send $100 of Bitcoin, the participants in this transaction need to agree on the price of Bitcoin at the time of the transaction to know how much Bitcoin this corresponds to. On average, 15% of all Bitcoin transactions are in round US dollar values. Did you know that many people transact Bitcoin in round USD amounts? Interestingly, because this is such a common occurrence, there are clearly recognizable patterns that exist in the UTXO set that can be used to closely infer the price of Bitcoin at any point in the past or present. See the chart below. Imagine that you are buying Bitcoin at an ATM or buying a gift card online. Will you buy $100 worth or $39.27 worth? Round USD values ranging from $1 up to several thousand dollars are very common denominations in the Bitcoin blockchain. In fact, since 2014, there has been a growing on-chain footprint of these round USD value Bitcoin transactions, which in some days can account for up to 25% of daily outputs created. The United States has by far the largest installed base of Bitcoin ATMs globally. U.S. Bitcoin ATM operators have grown dramatically since 2019, and the Bitcoin UTXO set vividly displays this market's growth as more people choose to hold or at least transact in Bitcoin over USD. Also, as seen with clients at SFOX, Bitcoin ATM flows are made of nearly all customer buys, putting cash into an ATM and receiving Bitcoin. So the on-chain footprint of this activity consolidates signals at round USD values. Other large Bitcoin markets, such as gift cards, peer-to-peer exchanges, and many other less common use cases, also contribute to this pattern of USD-denominated Bitcoin usage. The Bitcoin UTXO set, as of block 772,298. There is only one Bitcoin UTXO set at any given block height. This picture depicts the entire approximately 70 million UTXOs that comprise all 19 million Bitcoin in existence as of block 772,298. With Bitcoin being truly permissionless, anyone running a fully validating Bitcoin node has this exact same data on their computer and can independently replicate this exact same data set for this point in time. A live version of this visualization can be seen and interacted with at utxo.live. Zooming into the 2022 section of the chart highlights that there are consistent patterns in the UTXO set. We'll focus on two such patterns, horizontal lines and wavy lines. Horizontal lines, the flat lines, represent UTXOs denominated in round values of Bitcoin. For example, 0.001, 0.005, 0.01, 1, etc. Flat at any USD price, because sending 1 BTC always equals 1 BTC. The wavy lines represent groupings of UTXOs denominated in round US dollar values, $1, $20, $50, $100, $200, $500, $1,000, etc. They are very wavy, yet parallel to each other, because people send in many US dollar denominations, and these denominations all move in proportion to each other as the Bitcoin US dollar price changes. And they move inversely to price. Bitcoin US dollar price increases cause the wavy lines to slope down, since it takes less BTC to equal a US dollar value as price moves up, and vice versa. Making sense of the lines. The fact that horizontal lines exist isn't all that impressive. People transacting in Bitcoin often transact in round amounts of Bitcoin. But the fact that the wavy lines exist clearly and consistently is a big deal. It means that, given an open source model, this could help bring about the ability to independently calculate the price of Bitcoin using only your full node at any block height, and develop genuine DeFi applications without the need for, or without sole reliance upon, trusted third-party price oracles. The UTX Oracle price model has native logic checks. How can you easily test the hypothesis that the wavy lines represent movement of Bitcoin denominated in USD? Simply pick a date when you know the Bitcoin US dollar price crossed a round US dollar value and see if the horizontal and wavy lines cross. One such case is July 27th, 2020. Bitcoin was recovering from the March 2020 mayhem and crossed over $10,000 per Bitcoin. The image below shows the wavy line, the US dollar line, crossing down below the horizontal line, the BTC, at the same time that the price rose above $10,000 per BTC. This particular image is the 10,000 sat, the 0.0001 Bitcoin line, but the same pattern exists at many other Bitcoin denominations as you progress up the UTXO chart. Still don't see it? We'll zoom in and explore a high-resolution image at utxo.live. Clearly, the wavy lines on the chart show transactions denominated in US dollars. This has enormous ramifications, since the wavy line pattern exists in varying degrees in every block, and is extremely consistent over rolling periods, such as every 144 blocks, or roughly 24 hours. The UTX Oracle US dollar Bitcoin price is quite accurate. Seeing the horizontal and variable lines cross at round US dollar values is nice, but a majority of the time the lines are not very close to one another. We need a way to prime a pricing model from these crossing points that will infer an accurate current price at any block height after the model is primed. Enter the UTX Oracle model. In this preliminary model, an input date of July 27, 2020, a day when Bitcoin rose above $10,000, is used to prime the model to a best fit for that day's price. Using only this single day's UTXOs and an input of that single day's volume-weighted average price, or VWAP, we are able to create a model that, when used with a future date's UTXO set, changes, infers the daily price of Bitcoin with remarkable accuracy from this day forward, utilizing only the Bitcoin UTXO set with no reference to any external price data after July 27th, 2020. The red line is the daily volume-weighted average price from SFOX, an aggregator whose price encompasses the filled trades from dozens of exchanges and OTC desks. The blue line is the UTX Oracle daily price calculation based on each day's UTXO changes. For the measurement period of July 2020 to January 2023, the model performs exceptionally well, with daily median and daily average variances between the actual VWAP and the UTX Oracle price of 0.65% and 1.04% respectively, both of which are within the normal range of fees charged for Bitcoin purchases at retail exchanges. It's been said that all models are wrong, but some models are useful. One key difference between the UTX Oracle model and other models that output a Bitcoin price is that the UTX Oracle model does not seek to predict a future price. It merely attempts to infer an accurate current price based on recent blocks and corresponding changes in the UTXO set. Given that the current model has also not been fine-tuned for a best fit and simply uses a single primer date for its input, the model is clearly wrong. Hopefully, it can be useful. The UTX Oracle model has trade-offs. If Bitcoin has taught me anything, it's that trade-offs exist. The UTX Oracle model is no different. The Bitcoin UTXO set is a beautiful, living monument to the human spirit. But try as we may, any model created from it will not fully encapsulate the entirety of the underlying activity which it represents. A map cannot be as accurate as the territory it represents. The UTX Oracle model relies on several concepts to function correctly. Bitcoin UTXO data. Free and widely available data accessed by running a full node. Also, Bitcoin price data to identify a time or series of times upon which to prime the model, based on free and widely available data. A model to apply the primer dates generally to any date. There are many ways to optimize this. And a way for users of the UTX Oracle output price to utilize the price in DeFi applications. This needs significant effort to develop. People may create UTXOs at amounts that would mimic the price being another level than reality. On centralized venues, people have been known to spoof large buy or sell orders in an order book to make it seem as though there is a large buyer or seller in the market, only to later remove these buy-sell orders without actually having any trades filled. This can actually move markets on centralized venues. But you cannot spoof UTXOs. They either exist in a mined block or they do not. It takes a long time to create a fake price signal, and it's obvious when someone tries to do so. Currently, it looks as though using a daily UTX Oracle signal, rather than a single block interval, achieves a price accurate enough to use in practice. This approach has the added benefit of greatly increasing the cost of attack in mimicking or censoring transactions which would be most useful in producing the UTX Oracle price at any certain time. Even if someone created many UTXOs at levels mimicking a different Bitcoin price, there is no mechanism to remove the real transactions that reflect the accurate price. At best, an attacker would create an additional set of wavy lines. UTXOs are expensive to fake. There's no such thing as spam in the Bitcoin blockchain. There are only transactions that pay a fee to be included in a block. This means that blockchain data is expensive to produce or censor, and there is a real cost of capital in creating UTXOs to fake a price signal. Current model accuracy diminishes after about 2 years, as is visible in the chart. In practice, it's likely that a model will need to be recalibrated after some period of time. Changing the model to take into account different UTXO patterns carries much less risk than changing consensus rules in Bitcoin. Unless participants are transacting in multi-year options or futures contracts on chain, this is likely not a meaningful barrier to use. The current model does not deal with extreme volatility well. Mempool variations in price volatility create situations where the UTX Oracle price can temporarily vary from the centralized exchange price by more than 10%. While this can likely be improved upon with a more comprehensive model, it does highlight a potential serious limitation of the practical use of the model. Then there is the AI echo chamber problem. If the model is very successful, it may become less effective. In a world where many people are settling economic activity using the price inferred by a UTX Oracle model, there will be many additional UTXOs settled in round USD values. These UTXOs may diminish the model's accuracy or distort it in other ways, similar to how a large language model, or an LLM, trained on LLM-generated content will not match the effectiveness of one trained on human-generated content. Using a UTX Oracle model in practice. Love it or hate it, you know the word ordinal. Ordinals taught me that people can coalesce around a methodology of interpreting the UTXO set that is technically external to Bitcoin, but which can be solidified at the social layer as an additional protocol on top of Bitcoin. It is my hope that a sufficiently accurate UTX Oracle model will be produced by someone which will allow people to use that version of the model as a shelling point in building decentralized applications on Bitcoin. It is my further hope that Bitcoiners can develop a method of using these one or more competing models in a trust-minimized way to expand how Bitcoin is able to bring financial peace to the world. A successful implementation would be one in which model inputs are publicly known and outcomes are verifiable. DLC participants can contest fraudulent outcomes by calculating their own price using the model inputs. An elegant solution to this issue remains an unsolved challenge. And one in which any of these security models is possible. Peer-to-peer, two or more ordinary participants can utilize the UTX Oracle model without third parties. Verifiable centralized Oracle attestations. A centralized Oracle signs a message with a particular UTX Oracle pricing model that the Oracle will use, and participants are able to verify outcomes and punish wrongdoing. UTX Oracle as a quorum member. Use the UTX Oracle price as a logic check in a traditional centralized Oracle model, or in a 2-of-3 or 3-of-5 multi-Oracle setup. UTX Oracle use cases. DLC derivatives. Options, futures, perpetual futures. This will enable users to buy or sell contracts in an open marketplace where outcomes are administered by participants using a UTX Oracle price. For example, Alice deposits an amount of Bitcoin to a DLC-governed address. Bob pays Alice an amount of Bitcoin denominated in USD, as evidenced by the UTX Oracle price. At the time of settlement, Alice or Bob may produce a signature from an Oracle attesting to the price calculated under the UTX Oracle model to determine the settlement flow of funds as expired or exercised. On-chain lending markets. Users can borrow or lend in an open marketplace where the loan lifecycle is administered by participants using a UTX Oracle price. For example, I have one BTC at $100,000 value, and I want to take a partial loan of $30,000 without selling my Bitcoin. I can coordinate with a market maker to deposit my one BTC and the market maker's 0.3 BTC at a value of $30,000 to an address governed by a DLC. Upon funding, I may spend the 0.3 BTC for my desired use case. Normal loan repayment. In this use case, the borrower has the option to sign a transaction granting the market maker $30,000 in value of the original 1 BTC, or to deposit $30,000 in value as evidenced by the UTX Oracle price and withdraw the original 1 BTC. Upon liquidation, if the value of the 1 BTC in the DLC governed address falls to somewhere near $30,000, as evidenced by the UTX Oracle price, the market maker can sweep out the entire 1BTC to liquidate the loan and recoup their principal. Stable sats. The UTX Oracle model also offers an interesting use case around stable sats, referred to Bitcoin-backed USD stablecoins on stable-value USD accounts denominated in Bitcoin or Lightning. For instance, imagine that you want to hold $1,000 worth of Bitcoin for the next month. You do not want to or cannot hold the $1,000 in cash at a bank, in Ethereum or Tron-based stablecoins, or on an exchange. You could enter into an agreement with a market maker on the Lightning Network to stream the daily net price change in value to you. You would be able to independently validate that the correct amounts are being paid by using the UTX Oracle model you agreed to. At the end of the month, you will have a different amount of Bitcoin in your Lightning channel, but it will be worth $1,000. Peer-to-peer marketplaces. As a seller in an online marketplace, it's currently difficult to price items in Bitcoin due to the volatility, as well as the fact that your expenses are likely in US dollars. But accepting payments in USD means accepting chargeback risk, fraud, and the fees and complexity inherent in modern payment systems. Pricing products in US dollars but having the flexibility to accept a US dollar value in Bitcoin via the UTX Oracle model could encourage more Bitcoin-denominated commerce. The next steps for UTX Oracle. As outlined in this article, I believe the UTX Oracle model could be a powerful tool in advancing Bitcoin use cases and extending financial freedom to more of the world. While it has trade-offs, I believe it represents an exciting frontier that can improve upon existing solutions that require more trust in third parties. If you are excited about the prospect of UTX Oracle, I encourage you to join the discussion on Telegram and Twitter. Links to both will be included in the show notes. This is a guest post by Daniel Hinton and Steve Jeffress. Opinions expressed are entirely their own and do not necessarily reflect those of BTC Incorporated or Bitcoin Magazine. This episode is brought to you by Nodeless.io. A ton of you guys have finally taken me up on the donations and set up your donation page on Nodeless, which takes almost nothing. Any of those people can vouch. It's extremely easy to do. No subscription, no nothing, no KYC, nothing like that. And you can immediately accept donations for your donation page, for a crowdfund, a project you want to share. And that's just the beginning of Nodeless. But I will zap you. If you do that, I will zap you 10,000 sats. And when you do it, just tag me on Twitter or Noster, by the way. I've been getting them from like 100 different directions. So just posting them and tagging me on Noster or Twitter is actually the best way to do it. So I can just kind of watch for one place. But that offer is still on the table and you should check out Nodeless. Nodeless is an amazing way to just plug into accepting Bitcoin online. Plug in your shop, your WooCommerce, like I said, fundraiser, donations, online store, or use the webhooks and a very powerful API to just accept Bitcoin and not have to run a node, not have to manage channels, nothing like that. You give it a cold storage address and then the Bitcoin will just be forwarded straight to you. Check them out at bitcoinaudible.com/nodeless. All right. So this piece, this is fascinating. This is fascinating. So huge shout out to Steve and Daniel, good friends of mine. Raleigh Meetup represent. But they, there's been a lot of really great ideas and like kind of like trying to break things down that has made its way through the Raleigh crew. And this is one of those that Steve has been working on or running at UTXO.live for a really long time. In fact, I actually bought one of the prints early on at, I can't remember what conference it was, but it's really cool. And I still don't have any of my stuff set up in my studio, so I can't show it off, but I'll show it in a video at some point. But it's a really, really cool print of the UTXO set at some block height. I can't remember which block height, but... So UTXO.live, one of the interesting things, and he did a breakdown of this actually at the Bit Devs, if I'm not mistaken, about just all of the patterns that you can see in the UTXO set. And it's just so cool because there's so much information about what is happening in markets elsewhere, just in the construction of the transactions, of the amounts that are being sent, of when things are being sent. And this was such a clever way. It was funny, like, you know, we talk about this and he's just kind of walking through the charts and just kind of showing all the patterns. And Steve is like this, like, I feel like he probably just looks at this like a ton and just is just staring at it and trying to figure out what's interesting about it, what information can be pulled from it. And I cannot believe it's this accurate. Because we could, you know, you can clearly see it. I mean, if anybody who looked at the either the images in the article or just go to UTXO.live, I mean, there is a clearly defined line in the amount of addresses that have certain types of or certain balances of Satoshis. And there are straight lines and in Bitcoin denominated. And then there are the wavy lines, they're moving lines through the dot matrix that are corresponding with the US dollar price in set amounts. And it's funny, like I make both of those exact same decisions. Like I see that in my own behavior all the time. I'm either moving 100,000 sats or I'm moving a set dollar amount. Now, this is also interesting, too, because the dollar market is clearly the most liquid market as far as settlement goes. So I wonder to what degree noise is added into the system with or how likely it is that you can see additional lines that are the Chinese yen price, or I mean the Japanese yen or the Chinese renminbi price in Bitcoin as well. And obviously this accuracy would be dependent on the dominance of the dollar market and the dollar pricing. So the more Bitcoin denominated pricing that we have, the less that information will actually show up in the chain. But also there's actually an interesting element that with large amounts, since the Bitcoin chain, especially as we move towards a more lightning centric ecosystem, is that largely Bitcoin will be thought of as only settlement. So it might even still be accurate, even as so much of the activity in smaller amounts goes to something like Lightning, because none of that information shows up on chain. None of those payments show up on chain, only the settlements or the major shifting, which are still likely or more than likely to be set according to US dollar value measurements. And this is also why I think it's really important, or why I think it's important. And there's a million reasons why it's important, but why I think it could actually be useful specifically in this way as Bitcoin becomes the medium of exchange for dollar settlement internationally. Kind of that larger shift that we've kind of talked about in the past of kind of moving from the store of value to the medium of exchange, is it makes sense that because Bitcoin and Lightning have no borders, no boundaries. I mean, you know, obviously this is Jack Mallers and Strike's entire thesis, right? Is it doesn't matter if no one wants the Bitcoin at one end versus the other end, is all they need to do is settle the transaction in exactly the amount of Bitcoin. You need a liquid market on both ends to onboard and offboard to Bitcoin, and then you can move dollars or anything anywhere in the world at the speed of Bitcoin and Lightning. And this could be a really interesting way. I like the idea of using it as a logic check, as having an automated way to essentially limit your trust in a centralized or a third-party oracle, such that you could, the UTX oracle is essentially a check on being fed or Sybil attacked false information. You know, if you're man in the middle with a dollar price chart, or a third party is being tricked, or you're being Sybil'd and made to think that it's some third party that you're connecting to and you're not, it's very interesting to be able to lean on your full node and be within possibly 1% of the accuracy of the price and know whether or not to check, okay, wait, what's happening? Am I getting a genuine feed here? Because my full node is telling me otherwise. It's an extremely trust minimized way to essentially know if external data to Bitcoin that you are receiving is actually likely valid or something that needs to be double checked. So that alone is actually a pretty interesting use case. But, you know, thinking about something like the CME and their Bitcoin price contract, I can't remember exactly how they refer to it. But the one they have that I think settles once a day, that's actually the kind of perfect use case that this could actually fulfill, because the average price, it helps to actually minimize volatility if your price setting mechanism is over a longer span of time. So like an inter-hour inter-hour price move that might, you know, jump at $100, $200 or something isn't important if every contract you trade basically expires in 24 hours. It's a basically a 24-hour average. And that can essentially allow broad and sort of deep market bets to bring stability to doing business and commerce in Bitcoin. The ability for a sort of decentralized futures contract that allows you to hedge against whatever the price may be tomorrow or the next day, through a period of a month, the period in which you like when you're restocking inventory, you're paying your bills, you're dealing with your costs and resource turnover throughout a monthly period. All of that is going to be denominated in dollars, or at least a vast majority of it is going to be denominated in dollars. And every single day when you're accepting Bitcoin, you need to be able to know that you can pay a dollar cost. And maybe even outside of that cost, you can just allow fluctuation in the price because you want to actually, you're okay with carrying some of the risk of the Bitcoin price as long as that risk is in your profit, not in actually funding day-to-day activity. So you can essentially set aside, you can buy a monthly futures contract, and if it's within 1% or 2% of the actual price, just by looking at the full node data, and somehow you can integrate that, you can essentially have a proof of what data set or what a hash. Right? You just need a hash of what the price, the UTX Oracle output, the UTX Oracle declaration of what the price is, that if it matches the hash of the output of your UTX Oracle, everybody can independently come to the same determination as to what the price is. And the thing is nobody's going to have a different UTXO set. Nobody's going to have a different block in their blockchain. Like that is the magic of Bitcoin, right? Is everyone is in consensus on every last bit and byte of data in the entire chain. And again, if nothing else, it could be a really interesting way to keep in check the sort of DLC systems and the kind of the third-party Oracle systems where they're not even a party, but essentially it's like a check and balance system, is that you can use multiple avenues in a sort of quorum, like they talk about a little bit down the road, or a little bit towards the end of the article. And I'd be curious, I haven't talked to Daniel or Steve, and, you know, Daniel works at SFox, so that's a lot of what I mean. Just he was talking about like having aggregators of a lot of different price feeds. So I'm very curious how this model works, because you know, going back to what they said about ordinals, is, you know, love it or hate it, like it's there. And what's funny is I don't really have a problem with ordinals. Ordinals seem like not even like a thing at all. The problem was inscriptions. It's just like that those two terms got really kind of slammed together. Even I used ordinals to mean inscriptions like a bunch of different times during conversation. They just got equated. But ordinals are literally just a way to externally count Satoshis. Basically label a number to which Satoshi in the Bitcoin system is this, but it's just an account. It's just an external means of accounting. So you could just change the rules and everybody would come up with completely different numbers. But the thing is if you're running the same code and you're using the same rules, well, then everybody can agree because you can just do the math on the chain that this address is the one that has the 210 billionth Satoshi in it. And it seems like this is kind of proof, in a sense, that you could do this system. There's no reason why you can't do this exact same thing with a open source model that everybody's running the same math, the same weights of, in order to calculate the UTXO price, and everybody come to an independently exactly the same answer. It just might be hard. One of the trade-offs that they talk about is it might be really hard to set a date, to set like which dates are going to be the days that the model will be weighted against, and or how do you know when it's time to update the model, and how do you pick ahead of time what that update will be, especially if you're in a place where you're essentially waiting for a future date and you have no idea what the price is going to be or where it's going to cross and how to fix that inaccuracy while you're potentially looking at a giant market that is in contracts that will be dependent on any potential change or the setting up of new contracts. I guess it makes sense that the old ones would never be able to do anything, would never be able to change, and you would just not want to buy enough time, or you would not want to be sitting in enough time in the contract for the UTX Oracle to essentially get out of date. Because as you see on the image actually that they show, it's actually really cool that what happens is like at some point at like a year and a half or something, the predicted price or the UTX Oracle price is essentially delayed from the actual price. But for pretty much the whole first year, it's damn near spot on. It's really crazy. So there'd probably be like a sweet spot in the amount of time that you could do it. And then some sort of formalized way to update when it is that the deviation is large enough to do a reset, or maybe just a set amount of time, and some methodology has to be worked out to figure out how to pick a new date. But there's a quote in this that I thought was interesting, and I love what this could potentially mean if something like that, just in general, if you have a lot of Oracle based system or decentralized futures contracts sort of systems and networks, which I really hope those catch on, and I feel like there's huge potential there. It's just like the road or the mountain to cross to basically open that market up is so difficult, even from just a technical standpoint, but then also a user interface and a liquidity and bootstrapping and networking problem. Like, there's just so many problems on top of problems that it seems down the road. There's far easier and smaller issues to take care of that get us closer to that space. But the beauty of that place, when we actually do get there, is actually, I'll read the quote real quick. It says, "Transactions that matter are settled on the Bitcoin blockchain, not in closed systems." So this is after talking about how centralized systems can fake orders, right? You can put up a huge buy order at X price that's underneath the market, and everybody's like, "Oh my God, look at all this support," and then it just vanishes when the price gets near there. It's basically a civil, right? It's flagging as if there is capital there that there's no way to know if it actually is. It's fake. But you can't do that on the Bitcoin blockchain. You have to settle. The money has to move. The fee has to be paid. The data has to be put into the block. And quote unquote, final settlement is what matters. Now, what's amazing, what's really, really fascinating about a potential market that has no third parties, that has no trusted center, and you know, settles daily on like an average price calculation by the UTXO Oracle model or any Oracle model really that just has the centralized exchange not owning or not in control of the funds, that it's just between buyer and seller, and then there is a quote-unquote determinant of which way the contract goes. This would actually act as a massive corrector or regulator, so to speak, of any attempts to manipulate the price by an ETF or a centralized paper contract market. So what we're talking about with, oh, well, what's happened, JP Morgan is going to manipulate the price and BlackRock is going to manipulate the price and these sorts of things. Well, if you've got enough liquidity in a decentralized marketplace with active settlement, well, you can use those contracts to bet against centralized exchanges that are trying to manipulate the price. Going back to final settlement is what matters. And they use the example, the great example of Mt. Gox, that when enough people settle, when enough people try to exit and you actually move the capital on chain, insolvencies don't survive. Fake prices don't hold up. So this sort of design or this sort of system is actually a fascinating way to get price data, to get unmanipulated open system, open market price data that is always real Bitcoin settled. So I would just be absolutely fascinated to see what people could build with this, like what you could do with this. And I've always been, you know, SherdBits.com. I'll post that in the show notes actually as well. So UTXOlive.live, SherdBits. SherdBits I mention because they do a lot of work on DLCs and like complex markets and smart contracts and sort of things, and like how those systems on top of Bitcoin, they've got just a lot of resources on that sort of stuff. So that's a great kind of rabbit hole to go down if you're interested in that. But I've been really hoping for developments that kind of put all the pieces into place for something like this to kind of get this up off the ground, because there's been a ton of work from a lot of different people in building towards this, but not a lot of it has, and maybe it's just because we're having to rely on an Oracle, and if nothing else to bootstrap it, if you could do it without third parties at all, this would be such a fascinating addition to plugging into this that might help us get across some of those hurdles because you have an independent way to verify the price. And if that means that you have to have a lot more wiggle room in your contract and you have to do the contract in averages over longer periods of time, that's fine. It just kind of naturally smooths out the volatility in the movement and data going into the Bitcoin chain. So that might actually be just kind of a natural feature that the market's a little bit more robust and a little bit and kind of designed necessarily to be unconcerned with the shorter price swings. But I just feel like there's so much potential there that is untapped. And I think it's largely just because of the network effect. It is a liquidity problem. There's no, you can't buy a contract that nobody's selling, and nobody wants to sell a contract if nobody's buying. So anyway, just a really cool idea. And I read the article and I was like, damn, this could actually work. Now there's some really big kinks, or I guess specifics, like some of the major toolings or the major pieces of the puzzle that still need to get sorted out. But it just seems like it has a lot of promise, especially when you just think about it in the context of an addition to the tool set to help independently verify things. And actually, there's one more quote I wanted to hit, just because I wouldn't even have thought of this. But then as soon as they brought it up in the article, I was like, oh, yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense that this should be addressed. But it says, quote, it says, "It has been said that all models are wrong, but some models are useful. The one key difference between the UTX Oracle model and other models that output a Bitcoin price is that the UTX Oracle model does not seek to predict a future price. It merely attempts to infer an accurate current price based on recent blocks and corresponding changes in the UTXO set." So the interesting thing to point out here is that this isn't like the stock to flow ratio trying to, you know, predict where the Bitcoin price is. This is looking at people's behavior and transaction sizes and inferring the value that they ascribe to them, and inferring the dollar settlement price based on frequency. So it's more like trying to decipher what somebody is saying in a cipher, like in a basic letter substitution cipher. You can just kind of count how many times a particular letter shows up. Like if you exchange the letter T with the letter X, and then X starts showing up a whole lot, you can just kind of look at the probability of the replacement letters, of the coded letters, and you can just determine which letters they are. Using the UTXO set to figure out the price of Bitcoin this way is like doing that, except that there's like a lot of random noise thrown in, but there's still just enough clarity that you can pick out a certain subset of the total data that still has those frequencies, enough of those frequencies showing up that you can still decipher the words. But in this case, obviously, you're still deciphering a Bitcoin price. So this isn't them trying to predict a future price of Bitcoin. It's a model in the sense of, it's not like a price chart model. It's a model in the sense of just recognizing patterns in the data and being able to label it or attach it to external data that is the reason the pattern showed up. And the two biggest caveats that I think they address in this article, the trade-offs, is the AI echo chamber problem and how to pick a date, like how to set your explicit blocks in which you are taking the reference rate to then determine the rest of the chart. Now, I feel like the date is a more manageable problem than this model becoming successful. And I like the analogy of the AI echo chamber, is that if you take a really great large language model and then you train it on large language model, some other large language model with the data, then this is actually something that I talk about on AI Unchained, about this idea of, there's a paper I read about AI dementia is what they refer to it as. But it's the digital equivalent of inbreeding, is everybody just gets stupid, all the LLMs get dumb, and they have very obvious defects and certain areas where things just start to degrade. And what sucks in the context of the UTX Oracle, like applying this analogy, is that the problem is that the more popular it is, like the better it works at the beginning and while it's growing, the worse it may work as time goes on, because the settlement of those contracts on chain will essentially make them, if they start crowding out the external markets settlement and exchanges, if it starts crowding out the other UTXOs, well, then essentially what it does is it becomes self-referential, is that its own price is determining what price it thinks it is. So interestingly, it might actually work better with payouts or transactions being signed over Lightning, or maybe some sort of off-chain pool, like maybe even an ARC or something, or like a CTV commitment where essentially you don't even need to settle it. You have the ownership. You could take it to chain if you want, but only in the case of someone trying to contest it do you actually need to settle the bet itself in an on-chain transaction. I don't know, depending on something like that at scale, or for it to develop a certain way, or for people to use it a certain way, seems wishy-washy or unreliable. But anyway, now I'm just rambling. I think it's a fantastic idea, and I really, really like this article. And so I thought this would be really cool to see what you guys thought about this idea, and if there, who out there has a clever idea on how to implement this, or what could be built with it. Curious your thoughts. Shoot me a message on Fountain or a Noster or Twitter. I still do try to check my Twitter enough to kind of answer a lot of messages. I spend a lot more time on Noster lately, so if you're up there, definitely hit me up. I have no idea if Daniel and Steve are on Noster, but I will have links to all their stuff in the show notes as well, and to the article so that you can kind of explore. Check out utxo.live. And of course, all of our amazing sponsors, Nodeless.io, the Cold Card hardware wallet, and CoinKite, the makers of all sorts of great hardware and Bitcoin security devices, and Fold, the debit card that pays you sats. I actually got everybody some coffee this morning, and I had some really good spins. I was very happy. It was a great morning. All right. Thank you guys for listening. I will catch you on the next episode of Bitcoin Audible. And until then, everybody, take it easy, guys. No great discovery was ever made without a bold guess. Isaac Newton.